Hey guys, don't forget the 2023 Street Cop Training Conference, Nashville, Tennessee, April 23rd through the 28th. You do not want to miss this. So far, guest speakers, Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL that was responsible for killing Osama bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, U.S. Marine, Medal of Honor recipient, jumping on an IED to protect his platoon. Fox News host Tommy Lahren returns for 2023. Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff Mark Lamb, Sheriff David Clark, and more to come. You don't want to miss this event. We additionally have 20 of the country's top law enforcement educators giving you the best experience of your life. You will leave this event knowing more about your job and how to be proficient at the things you do, hands down, any other event that you'll ever attend. I personally guarantee it. Don't miss out. There's a room code at streetcop.com for our room block and room code at the Gaylord at Opry is where the event's taking place. Don't miss out on a discounted rate. The rate is from Sunday to Thursday. Put that in and find yourselves at a half-price room. Split it with a friend, but make sure you get there. You don't want to miss this event. It is going to be that good. If you trust me and you trust Street Cop, trust that you will leave there feeling like you've had an experience of a lifetime.
You trying to be a street cop?
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. Your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. Today I have a guest who posted in our Facebook group, our law enforcement only Facebook group, and it was very impactful for a lot of people. There were a lot of comments. But without further ado, Monica Eaton.
Well, thank you so much for having me on today. I am so happy to be here. I'm humbled to be here. But my name is Monica Eaton. I am from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I am the owner of 50 Fierce and Fit.
What was the post that you put on in the group? And maybe you can tell us a little about your experience that led to that post and why it resonated with so many people.
I was with a local city PD for just under 4 years, and I decided to resign from that position as a patrol officer in April. And for me, it was a pretty traumatic experience. I went through a lot while I was there. I went through injuries, gossip, drama, being hit on by sergeants, captains, you name it. It just wasn't a great experience. And it's part of the reason why I started my business, because I don't want women to experience that. And if they do, I want them to know they can overcome that in the police world. So I wanted to share my experience about how it started from injury and the mental health that went along with it and going into that dark hole and figuring out how to pull myself out of that and sharing my story in hopes that it would inspire and help others, or just be relatable and say, hey, I've been through this too. Here's where I'm at, you know, and it was a cool response. I had a lot of people reach out to me, even if they weren't looking for anything, just to say thank you for sharing. And that was pretty cool.
I think it's probably appropriate to tell the story. You can start from the beginning and maybe a little more about where you grew up and how you ended up wanting and becoming a cop and along those lines.
Yeah. So I grew up around the Kansas City, Missouri area, found myself going to college in Bowling Green State University in Ohio, made it there on a gymnastics scholarship. So somewhere I was almost to New Jersey, not quite, but Northwest Ohio, made it up to that direction of the world. Master's in criminal justice, completed that there, decided it was too cold, didn't want to stay. And I moved back further south, and that's how I landed in Tulsa. I took a job with Oklahoma Probation and Parole, and that's how I got my law enforcement career started. It was on the correction side of things. I was there for about 3 years, decided the pay wasn't that great, and it was one of those where we were overworked and underpaid and didn't really see many career growth opportunities from that. So I decided that's how I got into the police side of things, as I took my certification and went to the street with it. I worked with a part-time agency and then eventually applied full-time with the local city PD that I was with. It was one of those things, and it's still, I think the view of this agency is changing, because 4 years ago, it was a very prestigious agency of, oh, this is the second highest paid agency in the state. Like, everything is great. You get basically everything from equipment to uniforms, everything but socks and underwear is the way it was marketed of what they give to you and the equipment, the opportunities. And oh, we have canine, we have street crimes, we have detectives, like your opportunities are going to be limitless here. So I was really humbled when they gave me the job offer. I was like, oh, wow, you know, like I'm never going to have to go through all this rigmarole of applications and interviews and this, that, and the other, because during that time I interviewed with 8 different agencies. So for anybody who's been through that process, they know like the 30-page background packet, you have to do that times 8. And it's just a really long, drawn out process. But I got the job offer and I went full on into training, making sure I was going to be ready for this academy. And going into the academy, I was prepared. I was in great shape. And we get this training officer who doesn't have any background in physical fitness. And it's really obvious that he's not really done this type of thing before. My background being in CrossFit, I've been a CrossFit coach for almost, I think, 9 or 10 years now. So at the time it was around 7-ish. I had experience there and I had certifications there. And I knew none of that training staff there really, really had that. And so we get thrown into this training program that's basically running us into the ground doing, I think within the first 2 weeks, we did like thousands of push-ups, which most people know that's normal. But by the end of the second week, I had shoulder pain. And after having a 20-year career in gymnastics and getting into CrossFit for several years at the time, I had never had shoulder issues until the first 2 weeks of that academy. So come to find out, I go through the whole work comp process, which is a major pain in the ass. They kick the can down the road going, hey, we'll slap this light duty thing on your paycheck, but actually you're going to be doing everything in the academy still because participation is mandatory, which at the time I was already certified in Oklahoma. So I was, this was Academy 2 for me, which I relate to you because I know you said you've been through 3. So this Academy 2, I was already certified and they're still going, well, yeah, she needs to do all of this stuff. And so I'm repeating this round 2 and they're adding in some extra material to it as well. But I'm frustrated, my shoulder's in pain. And as the academy goes on, I'm getting more and more frustrated because I'm realizing I don't have control over anything. Driving into work, I would get anxiety, I'd get chest pain, knowing that I was going to be in more physical pain that day. And even though despite following doctor's orders, going to physical therapy, going to the doctors, that training officer still had control over my time and what I was doing. And I quickly realized that my physical therapy sessions were getting cut short because he wouldn't let me out on time, things like that. So I was like, this, I'm just going to have to get surgery because I can't do what they're telling me to do right now to actually heal this thing. So I make it through, it was a 26-week academy, I think. So for 24 weeks of it, I was injured. I had a torn rotator cuff that started as a bone spur, which is completely from overuse. Doctors told me that's an overuse injury. It's 100% preventable. So we get to graduation, go through the ceremony and all of that stuff. And they're like, hey, you have surgery. It was like a day or two after graduation. Go into surgery, don't have much direction about anything, even though, you know, I had worked part-time patrol before, so I knew how to be a cop. It was just learning like their way and their policies and procedures of doing things and their geography and layout of the city. So I was fairly confident that I'd be fine. It was more or less just finding my way around that I had to get used to. But I go to the desk and they're like, hey, you're on light duty for, I don't know, I think it was 6 weeks. Didn't have much direction. They were just like, hey, report call comes in the lobby. Here you go. Take it. And oh, and by the way, we're going to send an FTO to make sure it looks good. Okay, cool. I had done reports on reports on reports before from previous jobs and whatever. So I was like, whatever. Finally get to my FTO, get on the street. And that time, actually, that was like the most positive experience I had at that agency was the 12 or 14 weeks that we were in FTO through my 3 or 4 different FTOs I had, because all of those guys created a positive learning environment for me. And to these days, like till this day, I still think highly of those people and was grateful for that time because I genuinely had fun. I genuinely learned. And it was a good environment at the time. But fast forward, all that goes through. I get kicked out on my own. At the time, I was wanting to stay on the day shift schedule, which you realize is terrible because of the people that gravitate towards day shift usually. So that was going fine. But I was one of 2 rookies who got sent to day shift, and I was the only female on day shift. So immediately I was under the microscope because I was a rookie. I was a woman. They're like, any call I took, it didn't matter. Word got back to me. Well, she didn't do this, or she should have done that. Or why did she do this way? Like, and just the chitter chatter started. And so I found myself questioning everything because I'm like, am I doing anything right? Like, I know how to do this job, but am I doing anything right here? Because everything I hear is negative. And then you get the high school drama thrown into it of being made fun of and this, that, and the other. And it was just, finally I had an FTO or 2 that I could go to and talk and be like, hey, you know, am I doing okay? And they look at me and be like, yeah, like, don't worry about the chatter. You're doing fine. And of course, during this time, your favorite thing, I get a sergeant who's like, hey, we need more city warrant arrests for these people who are driving under suspension. He pulls me aside one day and was like, why aren't you stopping more cars? Well, for one, we're in the middle of COVID. And I was like, you want me to stop more cars? I'll go stop more cars. It was one of those things where I like stopping cars, but I like taking my calls and having my impact on my calls that I take. But one of those days he's like, hey, can you get more warrant arrests? Go stop more cars. I was like, yeah, man. Like, I asked you when you became my sergeant, what your expectations were of me. And you never told me. So the next day I go stop car. He's like 5 seconds from home because he's got an expired tag and has a driving under suspension warrant. And I was like, all right, well, normally I wouldn't arrest this guy, but Sarge says to, so we're gonna take him to jail. And then 5 minutes later, I get him to jail and like his city warrants and all this and that. And he goes, good job, good work. Like, awesome, man. Like, follow the sergeant's orders, obviously. But it was one of those things where I'm just like, this doesn't make sense in my brain. But through that time, you know, I was on day shift. I went to evening shift. When I got out of the academy, I had one of those sergeants that kind of tried to take me under his wing that was like, hey, you know, if you need anything, I'm here, this, that, and the other. And me just trying to be nice. He was going through.
I know where this is going, just so you know.
Yeah. He was going through a breakup at the time. And it was another woman at the department. So it was like a department blow up breakup thing. And he came into squad meeting one morning and I could tell he was like stressed out, had been crying, this, that, and the other. And so I texted him, was like, hey, man, I know you're going through some stuff. Are you doing okay? And of course, my now fiance, who also works at that police department and is still there, tells me from a guy perspective, hey, that looks like you're interested in him. And I'm like, well, that was not the place of where I was coming from. I was purely just trying to be a friend and a good coworker and just be like, hey, I'm here if you need to talk. Not like whatever his brain went to that day. I don't know. But it turned into that where I think he thought that I was interested in more than what I was, just because I was trying to be somebody he could vent to. But then it turned into, hey, I just bought a new house. Do you want to come hang out or you want to come see the new house? And we're like, no, we're not going to go that route. But eventually he was towing the line of some of those advances. And I started dating my current fiance at the time. And all of a sudden after he and I started dating, I started applying to specialty units in which this sergeant was over. And then I was getting shut out. Didn't have any chance of getting these things that I was trying for. And I quickly realized at the time, my opportunities were not within my control. It was these other people. You know, I could go in with all the qualifications in the world, but if they didn't like me for whatever reason, it was no, we don't want her. So that's when my brain started ticking of, I probably need to get out of here because I don't feel like my own opportunities and career advancement are within my control anymore. And then long story short, the same sergeant promotes to captain. And then as soon as he becomes my captain, all of the disciplinary issues start rolling in, where it escalated from like a counseling. As soon as I opened my business, I got a counseling about something I posted on my business page they didn't like. And then it was, I got a complaint filed on me for not serving an unconfirmed warrant because it was a dispatch error. Got that complaint filed against me, in which my sergeant at the time decided to put that I had cowardice in decision-making on a formal IA document. So that stuck there, even though it was unsubstantiated at the end of that. And then the final one was an IA write-up because my fiance and I both had done something that was very common practice at the police department, but it was wrong for us to do on that day and not to everybody else who had done it before us or had done it after us that they had knew about. We were the ones that got in trouble for that, not anybody else. So that was my sign to say I need to leave. And that was when I started this business and started rolling this out and, you know, started thinking bigger picture here. My goal was always to be in a training role because I identified that I enjoy helping people learn and helping people work through a process. And then also to be sort of a mentor to other women and other officers to help them through the career field or whatever they might need. So I found this opportunity within this business to be able to find other female first responders. It started out as police and then I branched out to first responders in general, but find other female police officers, reach out to them, see what their experiences were like, learn about what they went through. A lot of them were similar. thankfully there are women who are out there that is like, hey, I've had a great experience. I have great coworkers. I'm like, that's awesome. That's what you want. Like, go find those agencies because they're out there. But really, I've had a great response from women and guys too, of being, you know, related, being able to relate my experience to something they're going through, and then also be able to promote health and fitness and nutrition through this business, because it's an area in law enforcement and within the first responder field that's highly neglected, where you see so many people out there that are just overweight, out of shape. Even if they're not super overweight, like, their mental health is trash because of everything they've seen or done or been through. And really just trying to promote people taking care of themselves again and figuring out what that looks like for them, whether it's, hey, I want to stay in this career field for 30 years. Okay, great. Here's your challenges. Here's how to negate some of those, where you can take care of yourself and still do what you love. Or, hey, maybe you've had enough. You need to get out. Or finding a balance somewhere in between the spectrum of either staying in, getting out, or finding a way to make it work in the middle.
It's so funny, because earlier you just brought back a memory of mine when I was injured and they had wanted to know what was going on. And I said, you know, I don't know the dates, but it was somewhere in the fall of the year that I was injured. I said, they have surgery scheduled for like 10 days from now or 12 days from now. So they're like, well, can you go on the road? And I'm like, well, no, I have a blown out knee, so I can't. I'm getting surgery on it in 10 to 12 days, whatever it was at the time. I'll never forget, maybe 30 minutes later, they came back in and they're like, yeah, you're having surgery in 2 days. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? They're like, you know, we called, we got it pushed up so we can get you on the road faster. And I'm like, oh, okay. That was cool. So you called and harassed the surgeon to push up my surgery and shuffle. This is what my administration did, which I thought, I just went, you know, it's just so typical of what it means to be treated like just some number or whatever it may be. So I can relate to that part of it. And there really was no compassion. You know, nobody called me once during my whole time out injured and said, how are you doing? Is there anything we can do for you? I remember actually coming into the building and seeing somebody, not a bad guy. And I probably just gotten off the crutches. And he said, how's the knee? And I said, to be determined, my friend. I'm in physical therapy 3-4 times a week, you know, figuring it out and trying to figure out how much damage has been done through the incident. And I'll never forget, the person who was a captain at the time said, well, it looks good. And I said, I'm wearing jogging pants. So I didn't know that captains at this police department came with x-ray vision. You can x-ray my knee from where you're saying, right? He goes, well, you know, I wasn't saying that. I didn't say, you know, you look better. I mean, you know, I go, oh, okay. So I knew what was being imposed at that time. Like, you know, it's a sad state of affairs that we have to endure this stuff. Like, we're just some number, right? Like, you're just, it doesn't matter. There's no humanity to it. And it's the whole time you talked about your experience, I could just understand that there was a lack of humanity. And it's our job as law enforcement and law enforcement leaders and law enforcement administration to really impose or implement humanity into the way that we treat our personnel. And listen, there are people listening to this that aren't administrators. Just don't forget, when you progress to your next levels, if you do get promoted, humanity is an important part, and really having compassion for the people that work with you and for you. The only time I got called was like, you have a return date yet? Right? That's what I was getting. Like, not like, hey, you got court, just so you know, you got court on so-and-so. You can't go to it. Don't, because they're going to call you. You can't go. You're not allowed to go to court. Okay. Right? Like, it's just so ridiculous. It's so absurd. And, you know, there's no hard feelings about it. Just let's expose it for what it is. Okay. I have a question for you. 3 simple tips, since you're a fitness person, for police officers that they can implement to have a more successful physical well-being, I would say. So 3 simple tips, maybe 3 things to avoid, 3 things to do, maybe a combination of the two, maybe a food to avoid, maybe a food to look for, sustainability, sleep. We had a sleep expert on yesterday, so you got to watch that one. You better be fucking real sharp about the sleep thing. So you'll see that episode come out. It was very, very good. But go.
Yeah. So the first thing would be really reining in your nutrition, and that is working towards eating whole foods. Whole foods being anything that is naturally occurring in nature. So if it comes from a plant, if it comes from an animal, if it comes from the ground, anything like that would be my first tip of cutting out the processed crap, trying to stay out of the drive-thru, cooking your food at home and sticking towards those whole foods.
When we say processed foods, maybe we can give some kind of definition of what processed foods are and what that means.
When you think about it, it's mostly a lot of things that come in a box or a bag that has a label on it. And obviously there's some exceptions to that. But when you pick up something in the grocery store and you turn over the box and you see the ingredient label, and the ingredient label is like as long as the backside of the box because there's so much shit in it, you can tell that's processed, because it's not just the food and its original source. It's the food and its original source plus the preservatives and the added sugar and the added oils and everything else that they put into it to make it marketable to the United States, essentially. That, or, I mean, the majority of like your fast food, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, fries. Again, like if you're looking at a French fry, it's a potato and its whole form. But then you cut it up and you throw in oil, hot oil, then you're adding all those processed oils and stuff to it. And that is what over time is going to, you're going to end up being unhealthy. It's going to erode you from the inside out, adding all those extra oils, unnecessary sugars, things like that to the food in its whole form.
Did you know that I read somewhere recently that there's been extensive research done on human beings in the paleo age, or when there was no processed foods? And the life expectancy was actually higher than it is now, contrary to popular belief, because there were no poisons going into the body. Like the average life expectancy, the paleo age, was like 83 to 85 years of age.
There is the paleo diet, which stems from that era. And that's actually like when I started my nutrition journey, I started on that paleo diet. And even though I don't stick to that now because it cuts out certain foods and food groups, I learned a lot from that, because like you said, it is the food in its wholest form, and it is focusing on your meat, your veggies, your healthy fats, and pretty much cutting out anything that's inflammatory in the body. Mm-hmm. So I eventually brought back in some of those foods like dairy and grains and things like that I eat now, but I learned a lot from eating that paleo diet, because it originally cuts out all of that extra processed stuff. And then you learn how to incorporate the other things into your diet to round it out a little bit better.
What's interesting is, you really, once you start to put some thought into what you're putting inside of your body, it's interesting to see how you feel and how different foods make you feel, good or bad. Like, that's real.
Yeah. I've had a lot of clients who I've worked with. I think the coolest thing is to see is from throughout the process that they work with me is that their mental clarity improves.
Wow.
Yeah. From changing their diet. And that's huge. Like when your brain is just more clear on a day-to-day basis, you don't have all this extra anxiety, all of the stuff running through your head just because you've improved your diet. I think that's even more of a win than just losing weight or improving your health in general is improving your mental health, because everything stems from that.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know what? The correlation between food and your mental health, it's real. And it's interesting. I'm a constant educator. I'm constantly just, I am addicted to educating. Like, I can't emphasize enough how addicted I am to education. But even exercising, recently I've gotten this, I don't know where I heard this or read this, but exercising puts your brain into a more of a meta state where it actually begins to create, one, it's all good for the little fluids and all the fun shit that's going on in your brain, but you can also get into a very deep thinking states when you're exercising. Mm-hmm. Very interesting stuff. I mean, that's when I do my biggest thinking, when I'm working out. I'm by myself. I usually, a lot of my thoughts are triggered from the podcasts and the audiobooks that I'm in. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm in a book. So if you want to know what I'm listening to, it's called Traction. And I'm not too far into it. It's called Traction, but it's a business book. So it's a business book for substantially bigger businesses. Recommendation from a good friend of mine who is successful in business. He said, I just got this. Highly recommended. I went, say less, but let's go on to number two.
So I would say, you're going to want to start with your diet. Number one being your nutrition and improving that. Number two would definitely be exercise and getting some sort of activity within your day. And a lot of people think, well, in order to be healthy, I got to hit the gym for 5-6 hours a week, this, that, and the other. And then the overwhelm sets in because they're like, well, I'm here. Now I don't know what to do. So really, it doesn't have to be anything super involved unless you have super specific goals there. But for most people, I tell them, get moving for 30 minutes a day, three times a week at a minimum. And that could be going out for a walk with your family or going on a bike ride, things like that to get yourself moving. And then from there, if you want to up that, then you can start running or you can start incorporating body weight movements or maybe a light dumbbell or kettlebell or a band. It doesn't have to be complex to be effective, but you have to start at least with 30 minutes a day, three times a week at a minimum. Ideally, you want that to be a little bit more, but I would say at a very minimum, that would be a good place to start for somebody who hasn't been in the gym, has been pretty sedentary for a while other than working.
I often look and wonder, what's the mental block for people? You know what? Because you can make 1,000 excuses in the world. You ever hear the water heater theory, right? You got a whole day planned till your fucking water heater blows. And then your whole day changes and you find time to fix your water heater. And that's just it. It's flooding the basement. You got to get everything changed. You made time for that. But, you know, beyond that, I just look and I try to think about what is holding this person back from just taking some initial steps of getting better. And it really comes from a place of compassion. I really am not trying to be judgmental about that. I really want people to feel better and, you know, I think when you look better, you feel better. And then when you look better and feel better, you're mentally better. And that kind of correlates into the same thing. You know, I travel around the country. I see some very, very out of shape law enforcement officers. I'm trying to unpack of where's that block that, and I really don't talk about it much anymore in class. I don't want people to feel bad, but the reality of you're in a very serious job physically. Mm-hmm. Why are you not taking it seriously? And what's your life worth?
I actually can tell you some of those reasons because that's what I talk to when I speak with people on the phone before they decide to, if they want to hop in on one of my programs, they give me all of those reasons. And actually it's stuff that you wouldn't think about if it weren't for me talking to hundreds of people within the last couple of months on these things. But it starts with a lot of people, I think, not knowing what to do or where to start. Because if you think about it, there's a surplus of information when it comes to nutrition or exercise out there. And it's almost all of it's been contradicted at some point of carbs are good, carbs are bad, high fat is good, low fat is good. So everybody look at this stuff or like when you're in the gym, low weight, high rep, or go heavy for not as many reps, like everything's contradictory. So a lot of people who are not in this space, for one, don't know where to start because they think they know, but then they get started on whatever plan they're on, like say it's keto. And then they're like, well, this worked for a month and now this sucks because I hate eating like this. So I'm going to ditch it and just go back to what I was doing. So There's the mass information of not knowing what to do or where to start. There's being frustrated because they've tried so many things and just coming to the point in their lives where they're like, well, nothing works. This is just me. I'm big boned or I'm thick or I'm supposed to be this way. And not really knowing how to overturn that. There's a handful, especially I talk more with women than I do with men, but there's a lot of women who have a fear of failure inherently or just like, I don't know if I can commit to this for 90 days, or I don't know if I can legitimately get through this process, or they question themselves and their ability to get through this challenge that they're voluntarily placing in front of themselves. And so I've talked a few and guided a few through that. There's the inherent belief that losing weight is a huge sacrifice, that you have to sacrifice family time, that you have to sacrifice eating the food that you enjoy, that you have to sacrifice all these things to really hone in. And people will tell me, well, I don't want to do this if it means I can't spend time with my family, or if it means I can't do fill in the blank, whatever activity they want to do or food they want to eat, because they don't realize that there's a balance, that there can be a balance there. You just have to learn how to make it work for you and for your lifestyle. And then the last one that comes to mind that a lot of people deal with is they feel that they don't have the time because of their work schedule. And you have the current staffing crisis of everybody being short, understaffed, having mandatory overtime, this, that, and the other. Or you have people who work a 12-hour shift and then get held over where they're there for 12, 15 hours a day. And so they get home and they go to bed and they get up and they go back to work the next day. So the work, overcoming the work schedule and trying to get people to realize that they have control over their lives and they can prioritize their time still. And again, it's just working people through the process of how to make that work for them.
It's very interesting. And you would know it better because you're dealing with it on the front line. And I think when you're talking about this, it probably, you know, brings a lot of comfort to the people, you know, in who are listening on, maybe they're hearing some of their own excuses. And maybe there's some relief that they'd be able to find some resolve. All right, let's go into number three, Monica Eaton.
Number three, it's kind of a two-parter, but really the big thing in number three is finding time for self-care, which for many people that looks differently, whether it is, but pretty much you're looking for anything that quote unquote fills your cup, that makes you feel whole, that makes you feel good, that makes you feel at peace, that helps restore your mental health. For me, that's going for a walk, reading, journaling. For some women especially, it's like getting in a bathtub for an hour and chilling out, or going and getting your nails done. For some people, it's working out and having that coping mechanism. But really, the things that make you feel good, the things that make you feel at peace, and the things that give you back that energy that you're putting out constantly for everybody else. Because as first responders, our biggest thing is that we're so busy prioritizing everybody else and what's going on in everybody else's lives that we forget to take care of ourselves and take care of our own lives. I know that I've seen and that I had to come work through in my own journey of taking care of myself and doing that. Going to a counselor, I'm a huge advocate of mental health and therapy and seeing a counselor, preferably choosing somebody that's outside of your work, outside of your employer. Nothing against those services, but I mean, I'm just big on like separating work from whatever you're dealing with at home. But finding a counselor and somebody who is a neutral source that can help you sort through feelings, whether it's a traumatic event or maybe you're dealing with something at home or whatever. But finding time to work on you and that self-improvement so that you're good for you. You know, you fill up your own cup, because you can't pour from an empty cup, which is, I mean, it sounds cheesy to say, but it's like the most true thing that I say more often to people. You have to fill your cup, because if you run yourself into the ground, you're not much good to anybody else, whether it's kids, family, work, whatever. You just keep digging that hole deeper and deeper until you're able to really take a step back and be like, okay, I need this time for me. I'm going to do this today because I enjoy it and this is going to make me feel better so I can continue to meet all the demands that I need to meet for work, home, life.
Being selfish to be selfless, quoting Gary Vee. I have to give credit where credit's due. I agree with this 100%. I think that people get a better version of me when I'm able to do me first. And sometimes I'm late to the office here, actually frequently, but I try to relay why I am running late to the office today, because I just did not want to negotiate with not working out in the morning. I've got to adjust and tweak my calendar, my schedule, to be able to perform well today. And also, I'm a dad, and I'm not going to forego 5 to 10 minutes of time with my children to get to work quicker, to add one more social media post. I know that stuff's important, but I made a decision a while ago that those were some significant priorities of mine, and I was not going to negotiate myself, my health, my mental well-being, and my relationship with my family for 30% more financially or growth-wise. I made a lot of sacrifice to get where I am now. I'm planning on going a lot further along. I'm not willing to trade in those things for that stuff. And everybody's got a different cadence. Don't follow things because I said it, right? Just maybe it's a perspective you've never heard of before. That's just the things that I've come up with thus far. That could change tomorrow, by the way, Monica Eaton.
Right.
So where can people find you?
Sure. So right now I offer 90-day programs. If you hop on the phone with me, we'll do a discovery call, figure out where you're at in your life and what your goals are and what you want to work towards. And then I put together a program that's completely specific to you and your goals and what's going to help you out. It looks different for everybody. But there's three consistent things in the program. There's nutrition coaching, fitness programming, and accountability and mindset. So I work through those three pieces with you. We do weekly check-ins, and I give you weekly goals that you can work through week to week to tweak what you're doing to make sure that you are reaching your goals that you're working towards. So that's what the programs look like. You can find me on Facebook or Instagram. You can find me by name on Facebook. It's Monica Eaton. I do have a Facebook group that's 5-0 Fierce and Fit group on Facebook. You can search that as well and request to join. On Instagram, the handle is 5-0 Fierce and Fit, and that's a public space there that you can also find me there.
Monica was on our podcast a while ago. Did that help you at all, that podcast, the last one we did?
It did. Like you recommended, I changed the Instagram handle to 5-0 Fierce and Fit, and that's been there since then. You know, I took some of your podcast recommendations and started listening to those things, started listening to more of your podcast as well, because you have small tidbits that you like to throw in everything. And I like your stuff because it's very relatable, not just from a law enforcement standpoint, but there's also life and business and other topics in there, which I find very helpful. And then I've always been a student of education myself. I enjoy self-improvement things. So I really started digging into taking my time and listening to more podcasts when I'm out on walks or driving or whatever to improve myself as far as fitness, nutrition, business related things that will help me understand my clients a little bit more, help me improve myself as far as, I mean, you can always learn more stuff as far as fitness, nutrition, exercise. I mean, the sky's the limit there. So I'm always working to improve myself there too.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am. Because I, you know, listen, a lot of people ask for advice. And it's not frequent that people will actually listen to the advice. And I'm not saying my advice is perfect at all times. And sometimes, you know, I may have even criticized of like, do you really need to tell everybody everything about business? And my response is, if somebody had just told me about things at some point in my life and gave me a little perspective, I might have, you know, seen things very differently up front in the beginning. Could have been different things, maybe able to change the world in a different way. And I'm always still looking for more answers to the questions that I have. And I'm no different than anybody else. You know, as somebody who is successful as an entrepreneur, essentially, with a purpose, we feel like we have to pay it forward. So I'm glad that you found value in it. And, you know, I don't think any of us are perfect, but we're certainly trying. That's it. Like nobody's, you can't wait till you're perfect, because I don't think you'll ever be perfect. So, you know, you're going to become a better life coach, quote unquote, / fitness coach as you go along. But the only way to get better at it is to do it. You know, I'm sure you've seen yourself improve tremendously over the past year, right?
Definitely. It's been a year of growth. And I just had to look it up right now because I couldn't remember the name of him. But I did find the Seth Godin. Is it Godin? Seth
Godin. Don't you.
Godin. Seth Godin. Sorry. I found it. It's on here. I've been listening to it. I have to be awake when I listen to him though, because his voice is like so therapeutic that if I'm sleepy, it like puts me to sleep almost.
I would actually recommend Seth Godin is the best when he's being interviewed. So if you actually go to Seth Godin's website, you can actually find where he was interviewed, the best interview he's ever had. Well, I'll give you a few good ones. One is episode 1027 on the School of Greatness podcast. The host is Lewis Howes. I think the other ones that I found so far have been when Seth Godin was on Tim Ferriss's podcast, which is a huge podcast. You know, he was on there 2 or 3 times. There's a little, you know, banter back and forth before the real meat and potatoes come out, but I've probably listened to all of those at least over 100 times each. Every time I listen to them, I'm just unpacking things. I also think that if you watch Seth Godin Linchpin, you can put that into YouTube. It's a 47-minute video or 52-minute video. I don't think you missed anything on Seth Godin, because he's just, you're getting marketing plus you're getting thoughtfulness. And once you understand business principles, then you've got to start adding your soul and your heart into it and understanding really the science behind marketing. And that's not science where you're going to be employing trickery. That's science of leading with your heart. So, you know, there's a reason why Street Cop Training has the success that it does, is because it's true. It's genuine. And I had to get to my heart to lead with my heart. And, you know, that's a real big unlock for somebody in business, when you get into your heart. And it can be any business, right? You're a landscaper. What's the heart? I want to see this family come back to their home and see this project that I did them and really just take their breath away. So when they come home, they're proud every single day, you know? So I don't know. That's how I always saw it. I guess I was kind of always leading from my heart, but
I can relate to that. I think within the last several months, I've really embrace stepping into being more authentic. And that's the one thing I love coming from you, is that you're very, very no BS, very straightforward. And I think for me, being a female and also being a woman in law enforcement, being very straightforward is something we have to be, but it's also something that's not received very well. People will look at you and be like, well, she's being a bitch or whatever. And it's just me and my personality of being straightforward and not necessarily being an asshole, but just telling you like it is and being like, well, I'm sorry if you get offended. Like, I'm just telling you the truth. And I think that's gotten me in trouble more times than not in my life, even though I have no ill intent behind it. But really stepping into authenticity, not giving a shit what anybody thinks anymore, especially coming from like a toxic police department where everybody had a problem with everything I did, you know, and seeing the benefits of that and being relatable, being another strong female figure in the fitness world, but mainly in the police world. And then encouraging those people to do the same, encouraging other women to be you, to be the strong person that you are, step into what feels good for you and go after what you want. Like, don't, who cares what everybody else thinks? Like, you do you, you be you, don't worry about anybody else, and just go after whatever goals and whatever it is you want to in life. If you want help, I'm here. Great. If not, I'm still going to support you and clap for you from afar. And just be you, just be authentic, be strong. Who cares?
People respect that. They'll know who you are. They know, you're no bullshit type of person. There are moments in my career as a law enforcement officer and a law enforcement instructor that I'm like, you know, what was the line? Did I go over it? But was it good that I went over it? You know, who did I offend? Then sometimes I'm like, fuck it, whatever. I can't. Yeah. Just so it's constantly this battle in my brain of like, I know I have a lot of responsibility. I'm going to make sure I don't fuck it up. You know, and if cursing's fucking it up, I don't care. I met a guy at the airport recently. He goes, hey, you know, we weren't allowed to come to your training because our captain said you cursed. That doesn't offend me.
Yeah.
Your captain can't send police officers to a training because I curse. That's a captain problem. So, you know, and I'm like, yeah, no. It's always fun getting deep with you.
Yeah.
It's good shit, man. I think that there's some real entrepreneurial energy and, you know, you can always reach out to me. Anytime you have, even if you have little simple questions, I'd love to help. Do you have anything else for us?
You know, I'm here to help anyone I can, however I can. That's really my motto as far as my business stance for 50 Fierce and Fit. If you find me on Facebook or Instagram, please do not hesitate to reach out. If you need anything, ask questions, anything law enforcement related, fitness, nutrition related, you know, a lot like you, I this is my business and I'm here to make a living, but I'm here to have an impact and to help people however I can. So if I can give you a couple tips that are going to help you along the way, and that's going to encourage you to get started or encourage you to change your life, then I've done my job. So I'm here as a resource. I'm here to help the best I can. And please reach out. Female first responders, law enforcement guys, I don't care. If you need anything, you know where to find me.
Good shit. Appreciate your time. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at streetcop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher. So you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out streetcop.com for that offer.